HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Oh, what a classic song.
We do like that song, don't
we? Yeah, yeah.
What's it called,
David? It's The Power of Love by the amazing Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Just brings back memories.
It does, yeah. Yes, it was the 80s personified, wasn't it? That was a soundtrack to my 80s anyway.
It was for me, actually. I was saying earlier, wasn't I? I was a Frankie Goes to Hollywood member of their fan club.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had all the T-shirts.
I remember all the relaxed T-shirts and Frankie Says T-shirts. Anyway, what are we doing here?
Hello, it's the HIV Hour. we digress. Welcome to the HIV Hour on Thursday. It's Radio Reverb at 97.2 FM, and it's me and David.
In the studio. Nice to be back in HIV Hour Towers.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
The vast expanse we have here.
Yes, we've got the lift.
And we have a studio guest.
Yes, who's coming up later, Simon. Yes, Simon.
Madrill.
Yes, thank you, Simon.
And we're looking forward to getting to know what you've come to talk to us about today. Have you been, Josh?
I'm not too bad, yeah. I had a few weeks off, didn't I? So I was kind of just, I don't know what I was doing.
The summer holiday.
I just needed a break from things.
Staycation.
Just potted about. Got things to do in my house, but that's another thing, but
yeah,
I'm all right. I'm glad to be back in the studio.
Yes, it's nice to have you back.
Yes,
yeah, it's not the same without you. I mean, we did it on Zoom last time, and because we had people from miles apart, sort of, we couldn't get them all together in the same place. But it's not the same on Zoom. Although it's we can still produce a show to actually be here in the studio.
It's good that you can do them two things. That's from the when COVID hit. That's what we were doing anyway.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
So so what's on the show? We've got Simon, obviously, coming up shortly.
We've got some great world news. We've got some local news.
Yes.
And some great songs. And just you and me just bantering away as we do.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Shall we get on with it? Shall we introduce our lovely guest?
Who's
sitting there, not patiently waiting.
He is.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Hi, Simon.
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
So,
nice to have you back on the show. You've been here before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's nice to be let back in.
It's always welcome. You've always got lots to say, and and unique ways of saying it. So, you've come to tell us about an event that you're sort of in charge of, really, isn't it, or something that it's a very
well. Something I'm facilitating. So it's a lunch positive project,
right? Brilliant.
As the local East Sussex charity that provides people with lunches, but also much wider support and well-being. Yeah. And part of that is that we're launching a series of six Words for Wellbeing workshops.
Words for Wellbeing. Right.
So writing, listening, reading words is a scientifically proven way of improving well-being. I've designed a workshop to look at words written by people with HIV or about HIV. And we'll be going through these structured workshops and facilitating people to be able to also write things about their own experiences prompted by having some visibility of the words that have been written about specific aspects of living with HIV. So there'll be things from everything from Derek Jarman to words of my own as well.
Yes, of course, because you are a poet, aren't you?
Indeed.
Known as the Manx poet, is that right?
Well, I am a Manx poet.
You are a Manx poet.
Yeah, just remind our listeners, because you was on recently, a few months ago, weren't you? Just to remind our listeners where you come from. Where do you come from and what's your name?
Well, I was born in the Isle of Man. I was brought up in Bolton near Manchester.
Right, I thought you... Yeah, so my family from Bolton.
Which is probably where you've got the... you can pick the accent up from.
We're all Lancashire.
I'm from Nelson.
Ah.
I'm from near Bolton. Anyway, we've been...
Bolton, no, really? Oh.
Yes. So, apart from a little time out in the West Country, I was 20 years in London, and then I've been here for 4.5 years now. And I've been seriously writing poetry for the last 6 years.
Right. Was that coincide with any particular event in your life, or just something that you'd always been interested in?
I've been put off it as a as a youngster by my English teacher, who told me I was useless.
Really?
You know, and equally, we studied Wilfred Owen and W.H. Auden.
Yeah.
But did anyone mention they were gay?
No, I didn't know that. No, yeah.
And it's sort of, so to a certain degree also, there's that...
Mm.
That queer washing of history that exists.
Yeah.
You know, I used to skip along Adrian's Wall, and did I know he had a lover called Antinous? No, I did not.
Of course, yeah, he was the gay emperor.
You know, so a lot of what I do write about is around queer history.
Mm.
So last time I was in, I was talking about my book, A Finger in Derek Jarman's Mouth. Mm. Wouldn't we all? And also, I've written about Manx queer history.
Yeah,
I've written about.
The other man, from my recollection of in the 1980s, we've just been listening to a song. Is that it was quite a homophobic island at the time.
Yeah, we were only partially legalised.
Yeah.
In 1992.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if you know. You've obviously seen It's a Sin.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the character Richie Tozer, played by Ollie Alexander.
Hmm.
Was based on the actor Dursley McLinden, who was born in the same hospital as me 6 months earlier.
Right.
He died of HIV in 1995.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there
a
big community on the Isle of Man of people living with HIV? You know.
Well, that's a very interesting question.
Yes, I thought I'd like to throw that across the desk. Do you want a minute to think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do actually have a... I'll give you a partial answer to it, right? Yeah. Because in my queer history book, the Isle of Sin, it's
right.
called.
Oh, right.
So an MHK is the equivalent of an MP in the Isle of Man.
Right, a member of the House of Keys, isn't it?
Member of the House of Keys. Yeah. A politician walks into a mirrored room, tells himself with a straight face that revealing the numbers living with HIV would shed a bad light. Like mist over dusk over our mountain, every water drop being an RNA copy of each clouded figure. The MHK is fixed upon the medical list, few gays amongst the fishers and farmers, but all brothers and sisters in blood.
Mm.
Needles shadow an infinity of backs, this mirror showing our island with a condition like his. So basically, they won't admit to how many people are living with HIV.
Oh.
They won't even publish the number of positive HIV tests. I don't even think they even publish how many HIV tests are taken either.
Right.
No, they won't publish that.
Yeah.
They won't publish anything.
Right. Is there a clinic there?
About, I believe so.
Mm. Mm.
You've probably got security doors and airlocks.
Yeah.
All sorts of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of the people living with HIV will go
cross
to Liverpool
the
and will get.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's a lot easier to do that nowadays with. You know, even if you're still on tablets, you tend to only have the need for an annual face-to-face or at least
six-monthly
tests.
Yeah.
So,
and also great for having injectables, a great opportunity for people living on an island
where they have to cross the water.
Injectable treatments, yeah.
But it's a... Yes, I mean, it's... I mean, the underlying thing of it, of course, is... homophobia, because I happen to know for a fact that there's quite a number of people on the Isle of Man that have got HIV from being fishermen.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
They've been out
different
very
forms.
Long deep sea. No, deep sea fishing. And,
and
injecting drugs because they've had it introduced to them. So I know that there are people. And you know, they're claiming that if we reveal the numbers, then that potentially will identify people.
Sheds a bad light. That's awful. It's not a way to do public health, is it? It's no, to be embarrassed or have shame or stigma about it. You've got to...
Disclosure.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm talking about the last handful of years. I mean, the last Freedom of Information request, which was turned down, was only last year.
Right.
Or the year before, maybe.
They can turn them down, can they?
Yeah.
Refuse to say. Wow.
They have their own government.
Of course, yeah, yes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So, and back onto the, we'll talk about the poetry as well.
Yes,
we
digress,
but it's interesting. It's
fascinating.
Interesting.
I mean, this is why we love having you back on the show.
Yeah, it's great.
So the workshops.
Mm.
Yes.
So we've got a series of six. They start 2 weeks yesterday.
Yep.
So that's Wednesday, 18th of September to Wednesday, the 23rd of October. Running from 6 to 9pm.
Right.
And as I say, they're going to be based at, we're going to be upstairs at Dorset Garden Methodist Church, which of course is Lunch Positive's base.
Yeah, it's a nice space, isn't it? Yeah.
And yeah, so we'll be reading, listening, sharing writings about the experience of HIV. It'll start off quite gentle. Mm. And then each week we'll look at different aspects of living with HIV.
Because there is so much to talk about, from the dark times of death and disease, but to the sort of bright future that we're expecting to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hoping to do is to hold a gentle space where people are encouraged, they can write about what they want.
Yeah.
You know, so if I encourage or facilitate some idea of some memories that you have, that could be a dark one or a light one. Yeah,
of course.
It could be about a dear person close to you that died.
Yes.
It could be about a dear person close to you who survived. It could be about yourself surviving.
Yeah.
You know, so the no one's going to be forced down a particular...
So it's safe.
To take lids off things that they don't want to.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Equally, they will have the opportunity to do that if they wish to.
So it's a great opportunity to explore things if you are able to, but if the things you don't want to cover, then you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, and you know it's a safe space.
And the other thing to say is that don't worry if you're not a writer. You know that we're not producing an anthology at the end of this.
Right.
It takes a long, I know from experience, it takes a long time to produce a crafted piece of work.
Mm.
This is about people just writing what's in their mind.
Mm.
They won't be forced to share it with anybody.
Mm,
in most cases, they'll be encouraged just to share it in pairs.
Mm.
There won't be any critical analysis of your work.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about that process of you enjoying yourself, having that opportunity to write about something that perhaps you've not thought about writing about.
Mm.
And the words, hopefully, the poems and the little bits of words, extracts from Jarman's diaries, that sort of thing, will prompt thoughts in people's mind for the sorts of
inspirational things
and it must be a release as well for people when you've said what it's come out of your heart or where it's come from.
Just getting onto paper as well, it's not
getting down
around,
I mean, I certainly find that from my own perspective. I mean, what's sort of the usual done thing in running workshops is that you don't share your own work, but in this case, and I talked to Gary Pardew, to the director, about it, and actually, I think in this case, it's important that I do.
Because
in that way, you feel like you're modelling the fact of sort of exploring your own feelings about different aspects of living with HIV. Mm. So as part of it, I will be sharing some of my own work.
Mm.
And plus the work of, you've met Jonathan Blake, diagnosed in 1982.
Mm.
Because I'm writing a poetic memoir, sort of as though I'm him, of Jonathan Blake. So, equally, be sharing some of his stories from the. I can't do an impersonation.
No, don't.
Next time.
So, how many people are you hoping to? What's the maximum number of people you're going to have on the show? Not on the show, on the workshop, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we could manage with 20. I mean, an ideal number is sort of 8 to 12.
Right.
Okay.
That's good.
We have a few signed up already,
but there is
space for people to come, for certain. Great.
So could you just give our listeners the bump again, the information, just if they're interested?
Yeah, so the Words for Wellbeing workshops are Wednesday the 18th of September for 6 weeks, which is to the 23rd of October, at Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, 6 to 9pm. It is also important to say that you don't have to pay. You'll be provided with refreshments as well.
That's good to know.
The best thing to do is to go onto the Lunch Positive website, lunchpositive.org,
yeah,
and you'll see on there a link just to fill in a tiny form with your name and email or phone number.
Good.
And then we can send you the more information. Yeah. But there's also a whole frequently asked questions pack on the website as well. So it, and it also has, you know, access to the sort of the organisations that can support not just your writing but can support you from an emotional perspective.
Right, right. So that's www.lunchpositive.org, and all the details and the frequently asked questions will be on there. So that's brilliant. Are you going to stay around and chat about what else we've got?
Sure.
Brilliant. And I believe you've got some readings as well from...
Yeah, well, I thought, obviously, I did...
Shall we have a song?
Let's have the...
We did... I shared some of Derek Jarman's stuff, but I thought it might be nice to share a couple from Jonathan Blake, going all the way back to, say, in 1982 when he was diagnosed. And he was living in Elf Row in Shadwell at the time. And they're going to start with a dark one and then a lighter one.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is called The Roman Way. I never left acting. Acting left me. Me alone knew. Knew I was going. Going to die soon. Soon I planned. Planned to end it. End it all. The Roman Way. Three razor blades. Lined the bath scroll, three, just in case. Just in case, mother's voice worried my sweat. Clean up your own mess. My own mess, I have been. I have been cleaning it up ever since. And this poem is based on, it's situated in Russell Square Tube Station, Bloomsbury, London, on the 1st of April 1983. And it is what it says on the tin. First day out. I saw an advert in Gay Times. Lesbians and gays holding hands against nuclear weapons. I saw the coach up the road. By gaze the word, and turned back in dread. But these ochre and crimson pantaloons swished me. Hello, I'm Nigel. What's your name? We've been together ever since. 38 years. Ain't bad.
Oh, that's lovely, that. I love that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's good to have the lighter.
It's still running, the bookshop.
Oh, of course it is.
Is it? Really? Wow.
It's thriving, in fact.
Wow.
All the youngsters are coming down here in about this long history. Yeah, they... Jimmy was almost on the point of complaining how busy they were.
Right, because, of course, the Pride film sort of put it in on the sort of big screen, didn't it? The silver screen.
Yeah, of course.
So a lot of people are interested in the sort of the miners' strike and how the lesbian and gays supported the strikers.
But I think also since that. there's a big explosion in queer literature, queer people writing, and queer history stories that you know, there is a not as many as I would like personally, but there is a lot of the younger generation wanting to connect to
which is brilliant, isn't
that?
Which is,
you know, and their weekends apparently are just completely, the shop's just completely rammed.
Wow,
that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we have a song. Thank you, Simon. That was so good, and I hope the workshop goes so well. I think it will do, because it's such a brilliant thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
I used to write poetry, but I won't bore you with that. I used to read them on the show.
Oh, really?
I did. I used to bring a poem in every week, every time we did the show.
So they're on the podcasts. We'll have to look out for them.
There are, the start ones. Anyway, but...
Don't be shy about it.
I'm not shy.
You broadcast it, so...
Yes. So we have a song, Brass in Pocket. There's a bit of an 80s theme today, so Pretenders. So we'll put see you on the other side.
Well, I think we're all 80s boys, aren't we?
Yes, thanks, Anna. Yes. In pocket.
Just a bit of a break from the norm.
Radio Reverb.
97.2 FM.
Ooh, well, that's a nice track as well, wasn't it?
Russell it was Bucket. Good, yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and DAB Plus Radio.
Yeah, so we better mention, because Mpox is quite prevalent in Africa at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been global news, hasn't it?
And I know that we've had, I don't know how long ago it was, when did we have scares over here?
It was after COVID.
Was it after COVID?
It's difficult to COVID.
It's like, I think it was. Yeah.
But the new strain that's coming out of Africa at the moment is particularly more dangerous, particularly to more vulnerable people and children.
Yes.
And I know they're rushing vaccines out there now. But there are higher risk groups in Europe. There have been cases of Europe, I think, in Scandinavia. So that we do have plenty of supplies of vaccines in the UK. And if you are think you're at a risk of catching it, because you can catch it just from water droplets in sort of in vapor when you're talking to people close, or just from brushing skin contact, contact your local GUM clinic, or have, if you want some more information, that I think Terence Higgins Trust have
got on their website.
We've got a website that explains a lot about it. And I think the NHS website probably has as well.
Absolutely, I think probably all the sexual health and probably doctors as well, GPs. Yeah. So it's tht.org.uk, isn't it?
The website.
Just check it out, because I don't know if there's been many cases over in the UK.
This particular strain. I mean, we were pretty quick at getting at-risk groups vaccinated last time round, but this is a slightly different strain because, as we know, viruses mutate and change. Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, if you're worried, then contact your health supplier.
Yes, do.
So, also, our story coming up, we'll go a bit world stories now. Single-shot HIV treatment suppresses virus 10,000-fold for months. So, this is leading on from the injectables.
Yes.
I was on the injectables for a year and a half, 2 years. And I know it's progressing now, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I mean, there are longer-lasting injectable treatments. We were talking earlier about the on the Isle of Man, that it might be a good opportunity, if there aren't HIV clinics in the Isle of Man, that people could go to Liverpool or nearby clinics and get injectable treatments there.
Yeah, sure. I guess from my perspective, I don't see injectables I see them as a quality of life thing, not a stigma avoidance thing. I don't see it as a tool to avoid the stigma of being found out. It's more about a quality of life, depending on who we are. That idea of having a 2-3-6 month injectable rather than tablets. It's better. And some of that might be a personal stigma thing, but I think from people want to have, if they have tablets with food, they don't necessarily want to have them in a restaurant with them, which is obviously a personal choice of how happy we feel about that or not.
Yeah. You mentioned about fishermen on long trips, going out to sea for days or weeks on end, having an injectable if it lasts longer, wouldn't it?
I mean, what do you think? Would you be interested in doing a 6 month?
I'd be more likely to take a 6 month injection than I would for a 2 month injection.
Do you think?
Yeah, because having a 2 month injection means I'll have to go to the clinic 6 times a year. Whereas if I had a 6 month injection, I'm only going to go to the clinic every six months, which is what I currently do.
Yeah.
But I'm already taking a lot of pills anyway for other comorbidities, other things. So it wouldn't make a big difference in my sort of pill load. It would take 3 pills out of what I take each day. But I'm still taking 15 pills a day. It's a matter of personal choice.
Yeah, sure. I mean, from my perspective, because I moved off Truvada and tried the Descovy because of the kidney impact. It was starting to get my results wrong.
Yeah.
And I went through basically 12 months of hell finding another tablet.
That works for you.
Eventually got Biktarvy.
I hear that's very good.
My HIV consultant said that I was on the Prada of the Prada of HIV medicine. But it's a metaphor you're free to choose at any change at any time, he said. So I guess for me, I don't really want to shift from something that I'm now comfortable with and is working well to risk the side effects and all of that. Yeah. And I think, you know, at some point, what I'm on will be, will perhaps be, start having impact on my health, or there'll be some, there'll be other alternatives that are better, and then you can think, I'd think about it seriously then.
Yeah. I mean, I was on the injectables, the 2 month one, so I had to come off because I had a secondary, like a thing going on, so I kind of didn't know whether it was the injectables or it was part of me just developing. And but coming off them, I think I said this last time with Stephen, because Stephen's gone on to the injectables, hasn't he said last time. It's in your body for a year or over a year. I got told like well over a year. Some of the medication's still in your body. So it's,
this story says it can suppresses the virus 10,000-fold for months.
If you want to come off? This is one negative thing. Yeah. If it doesn't work and you have to come off,
you've still got it in your system
for
a while.
A long time. So I think my own advice is coming from doing the injectables is just think of all the options.
Yeah.
Talk to people who've been on it. Talk about you know, the fears and the negatives and the positives, and then make an informed choice for yourself.
Exactly. This story was sent to us by our fellow presenter Philip, wasn't it? I think was it or Philip? No, Philip commented
I found it. Yeah.
Yeah, but Philip was surprised that this treatment was tested on monkeys, on rhesus macaques.
Right.
Which got me thinking, because I don't approve of animal testing, certainly not for cosmetics, but it got me thinking about how what I owe animals. So you mentioned Truvada earlier, Simon. I mean, and anyone who's on Truvada that was tested on rhesus macaque monkeys. Anybody who's been on antibiotics, penicillin was tested on animals. So it's a difficult judgment call. You've got to, you know, and I know they are getting better at making sort of models of animals or taking samples of animal tissue, leaving the animal intact and unharmed, and then growing that in a test tube or a petri dish, and then testing the whether the products or the medicine. So as far as medicines go, I'm very grateful to the poor animals that have suffered.
But do you know what the most tested animal in medical research I discovered the other day? Being a poet, you go down all these rabbit holes.
I love your information, because you're a world of information.
Zebrafish. It's got very, very close. You can model a whole range of conditions from Alzheimer's to in a zebrafish.
Right.
The minnow, zebrafish as in like the minnow type fish.
Yeah. I used to keep them in a tropical fish tank all the time.
That's...
I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah. So it's not all sort of primates, is it? You know, obviously rodents are used a lot.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Anyway, I think we should.
So I'm very grateful for that, the treatments that we do receive and that they work.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I want to watch these injectables because it's getting more and more in depth, aren't they? And more
they're learning more
advanced,
and more. Last a longing, less side effects. I think that at the beginning of any new technology, you know, it's fantastic when it comes along, but it's always improved upon, isn't it?
Time for a song, an 80s song. Do you like Duran Duran, Simon?
Indeed.
This is one of David's.
I'm just an 80s boy.
Oh, yeah. I know, I love it. Just can't beat it. Welcome to the HIV Hour. It's Thursday evening, and RadioReverb.com, 97.2 FM. I'm in the studio with the lovely David. Hello, David.
Hello, that was a good song, wasn't it?
It was a good song, for 80s. I love Duran Duran. And Simon Madrell. Is that right,
Madrell.
Madrell. Sorry.
There's two of me, you know. We wander around.
We've got the other Simon in.
Sounding the same, but, you know.
He's still with us, so it's great.
That's why I keep inviting you back, to try and get it right.
We'll get it right. So if you want to email us, because we've got a new email address, so I just have to remember this. It's info@hivhour.org.uk.
And our website is www.hivhour.org.uk. Fabulous. And we love listening, hearing from our listeners, don't we?
Absolutely.
And people do send us stuff in. And we had a bit of a technical glitch last week. I know the show that I did with Joshua that didn't actually broadcast on the night. Sorry about that, but it was on the Listen Again page. Just some technical issues, but it's all sorted out now. Don't forget you can listen to all of our previous shows on the podcast and your favourite podcast platform.
Such a good, and we want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast, because it does go around the world and we're such chuffed. So thank you for listening and keeping us going. So you've got a little story, haven't you, David?
This is a story from South Africa. So in Pretoria, which is one of the sort of richest areas in South Africa, the cases of vertical transmission of HIV, and that is what people would commonly understand as being sort of mother to baby transmission, are on the rise.
Right.
And even though that free HIV medication is available to prevent vertical transmission. So not quite sure why that's happening. So in the first half of this year, 2024, 232 babies were born with HIV. And yet, you know, it's perfectly safe now to have a pregnancy and plan a family and give birth and have an HIV negative child, even if the mother is HIV positive. So not quite sure what's going on there, because the capital of Johannesburg is actually the capital of Pretoria, which is obviously a region in South Africa, and that's home to at least 15 million people. So, I mean, 232 out of 15 million is not a lot. There is no cure for HIV, as we know, so that's 232 new people that have to deal with HIV for foreseeable rest of their lives until we have a cure. So, let's hope they can get to the bottom of that, because the treatment is free. Yeah. I don't know if it's a matter of educating people, or not that they're not uneducated, but just getting the message out that treatment is free. Obviously, HIV is present in breast milk, as we know. So, but if the mother is virally suppressed, then the HIV content in breast milk should be negligible. So, damage to the point where it can't really infect a newborn. So there's something going on there. So let's hope they get to the bottom of it.
And it's been a story, so that's good. So obviously people are concerned about it. Yeah. Looking into it and trying to work it out and getting the help.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, we have quite a medical news, aren't we? So there's another big medical news story that you have come across.
So we did, me and you, David, it was last year, wasn't it? We did the
took part in the CPAC study, didn't we?
CPAC study. Yes. Have you heard of the CPAC studies?
No, I haven't.
It's anal cancer screening.
Ah, right, okay.
So me and David did it last year, and we went up to London to do a test, and we had
Tasman
on the show, who's the coordinator for the CPAC
study. The lead doctor, yeah.
So we just went up there and had the test that you do, and luckily we
took some biopsies, didn't they, and took some blood, and they were hoping to develop a test that, you know, that could show that, you know, thousands of people took part in the study, didn't they?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're trying to sort of see if they could develop a test that would detect it earlier than currently when it's diagnosed.
Like cervical screening. This is from America, so it's the same there. I think Anchor study in America.
Yeah.
So people living with HIV, especially gay, bisexual, and other men, are at much higher risk of anal cancer compared with the general population. So it's just to indicate, to just check it out if you can, isn't it? Just to have that on your mind and just to think about it and go and speak to your sexual health coordinator if you're worried or. Just checking it out.
If you have any changes in your toilet habit and it's a concern to you, get it checked out. It looked.
I'll just say that anal cancer is usually caused by HPV virus.
Which is the wart virus, isn't it?
So I was interested.
So if you've had warts, there's a chance that you're carrying the virus that could lead to anal cancer and cervical cancer as well. Yeah. So I know that teenage girls and boys now are vaccinated against it, but anybody...
It's over 40, it's over 40, can't, it's 45,
older people now
that
tend to be people over 30.
I'll just read you this little bit anyway. The new recommendation is supported by, as I said, the Anchor study, which enrolled more than 10,500 HIV-positive men and women aged 35 and older who received the anal cytology screening. Mm. More than half were found to have high-grade lesions, and they were randomly assigned to receive immediate treatment and monitoring. So it's so important to just
these studies.
Check
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
A trial showed that screening for precancerous lesions and treating them promptly lowered the risk of progression to anal cancer. More right. than half.
It's good news, isn't it?
So yeah, but just if you're worried or you want to check it out, just go to your just have a chat with your sexual health coordinator. Shall we have a quick song?
Yes, please do.
What do you fancy? To keep talking while I just need to get through.
Okay, how about some I've got Erasure?
It. That's the one, yeah. Who needs love like this?
Who needs love like
that? Oh, I used to love Erasure when it first came out. Anyway.
Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM. Don't forget that we're very pleased to be funded by the Brighton Rainbow Fund.
And
we are also sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies.
Yes.
So thank you
to
both for those. They really do help us pay for the lights on in HIV towers, don't they?
Your new hat.
Yeah, my new hat, my crown, my tiara. Yeah, yeah. So it's community news time,
I
believe. Yes. What's going on in your community,
In
Josh?
My community?
Yes.
not much. No. So I've got... the THT have got a new public health expert appointed as to the charity, which is great.
On the board.
Yeah, on the board.
He's on board, on the board.
Professor Thomas Waite will bring a wealth of experience to the board. So the charity, Tensigas, is thrilled to appoint him. Comes to, as a crucial time as there's less than 6 years left to achieve the life-changing goal of ending an infection, cases of HIV, 2030. So this is Professor Waite is an, gotta get this right,
epidemiologist. That's the one.
Thank you. Epidemiologist and public health physician. It's from, went to Bolton. University of Bolton.
Oh, we've got a Bolton theme today, haven't we?
So he's worked in public health and health protection in England. So I think it's going to be a good addition to the board. And I'll just say that Thomas said he's thrilled to have been appointed to Terentig and Trust Board of Trustees. It's a critical time as the UK strives to end cases by 2030. We wish him a lot of luck.
Yes. Good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not on to go to the 2030 targets, is it?
It's like, coming up to 5 years.
We've just had a bank holiday, and the next one's...
Do you think we've got what's going to happen, do you think?
if
you look into the crystal ball, do you think you've...
I think we can do it. It will involve a big push, and we need to get the whole country on board, and all the health people, all the politicians, and educate the public about the importance of testing and getting onto treatment. It's achievable. It's a tough goal to set.
What about you, Sam?
How much of a threat do you think the rise of infections of straight people, people who aren't? Don't have sex with men who have sex with men, because it's now there are more people.
Yeah. Good question. I mean, the more heterosexual transmissions of HIV or infections than gay men.
In
the gay world. So I think people got to be really bold and upfront about things in schools, because people are having sex at a young age, despite what people might think.
It's getting that message across, isn't it, to the heterosexual community?
They have much better sex and health and classes than we did. I just had cross-sectional diagrams of biological parts. But
the other thing, of course, it's not just about getting tested and therefore going on treatment. Mm. It's the timeliness of that. Because the last... I haven't seen the most recent statistics, but the year before last, the number of gay men or men who have sex with men who are late tested, as in approaching an AIDS diagnosis.
So people are testing...
were 30%.
Yeah.
Right? So 30% of men who have sex with men get late diagnosed. Yeah. 50% of straight women get late diagnosed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 70% of straight men get late diagnosed. Yeah. So that gap is that, of course, the period of time where you're most likely to infect.
I mentioned schools, but I think people of school age are probably very well educated. It's obviously people who have been in long-term relationships or marriages that are then suddenly broken up, or not suddenly broken up, but they're entering into a new relationship phase at a later point in their lives, like women. And then obviously they assume HIV doesn't affect them, they don't have to worry about pregnancies anymore. And then off they go and
It's tapping into that group, isn't it? And trying to get them to test it's good, as you say. That's
a lot of work to be done, but it's a tough target. But achievable. Of
course, there's the compulsory testing, of course.
Yes, in A&E.
One would really surprised. Actually, it's funny. It's funny, isn't it? How you'd expect the right wing Tories to be kicking up, the Libertarians of kicking up all the fuss over it.
Yeah.
Deathly silence. Because, of course, the NHS is, how do we put it, extremely scared of the situation, of the rise of things. So this intervention, if you like, it cuts through the HIV stigma of regular testing and revealing one's status by sort of catching those who aren't regularly tested.
Yeah, yeah. It's just better to prevent disease than it is to treat disease, isn't it? So if assume that it costs £10,000 a year to treat somebody with HIV, if you can prevent that happening.
It's going to be interesting because obviously it's going to get momentum now, isn't it? Because it's like coming up to 5 years, so it's always going to really pep up.
It needs to be extended, doesn't it? I mean, I know there's, for me, I think the public health interest outweighs, in the same way as with COVID, outweighs the personal liberties side of it. There should be screening for HIV and anything else which has got potential public health impact and cost impact. There should be screening throughout all blood tests, not just if you turn up at A&E. Yeah. And you can sort of opt out if you try hard enough, but
we're coming. Sorry, you'll have to. I'm doing that sign again.
Yeah, perhaps we're going to have someone from the HIV Commission come on the show at a future date.
Yeah, it'd be good to do that. Absolutely, we could do that.
So, in other local news, I think we mentioned in a previous show that there was a charity raffle to raise money for the Sussex Beacon. It was to get a lovely portrait of Miss Jason, and that raffle raised £510 for the Sussex Beacon.
Fabulous.
So well done to everybody that took part in that at the Box Gallery in Brighton. And on the last show, we had Joshua Royal on talking about his Naked Truth calendar. There's a calendar launch party and fundraiser for that on the 29th of November from 6 to 9 p.m. at Positive East. Stephen Hart, our wonderful co-presenter,
he
has some London dates for his one-man show, Shadow Dreamer, for December the 9th and this year, 2024, and February the 15th, 2025. So if you're interested, I'm sure we'll have him back on the show to talk about it, but go to www.shadowdreamer.co.uk to book tickets and get more information. Lunch Positive are having the fantastic lunches tomorrow lunchtime. Doors open at 12, serving lunch at 1 o'clock. And Simon, what are you doing in September again?
I'll be there tomorrow if anyone wants to talk about September.
Yes, great opportunity.
The Words for Wellbeing workshops.
Answer any questions that people may have. Yeah. So from the 18th to the 20th, 18th of September, 23rd of October, 6 weeks, a fantastic
Wednesday evening, 6 to 9.
I'm interested in that. I wrote poetry. And
I've never done poetry, so sign me up. On air, I've committed myself.
You don't even have to pronounce my name right to be accepted.
Go on, do it again. What is it again?
Madrill.
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 Epidemiologist. Madrill.
Yeah. I'm from Burnley.
Lancashire lads.
I'm from Burnley.
Actually, having you two in the studio with me, my accent's coming through.
It does.
You can't help it.
I don't know why. I've been in Brighton for a long time, but my accent just got stronger for some reason. I think I want to be stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but anyway.
It's good to have regional accents more on in broadcasting.
I think it is, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, it's time to say goodbye. Thank you for coming on the show, Simon.
Thank you,
Simon. It's been lovely.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
We'd love you to be on the show again.
Yeah.
And everyone have a safe weekend. And have you got any plans, David? So we've got quickly 10 seconds.
Gardening, that's it.
Depends on the weather, doesn't it?
Gardening,
Me too.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, and we finish with, I just love this band, Depeche Mode, Never Let Me Down. See you next time.
Bye.
HIV Hour. is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.